Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 474, The Sims Interview, recorded on April 16th, 2015. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Duststorm, and today we have the pleasure of sitting down with The Sims. Hello, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, thank you for having me. Pleasure.
Yeah. So, for those who have watched HCS, you probably know who The Sims is. He's a competitive commentator, and we actually got to see him in Prime 4 at the Grand Finals for HCS, so it was a really great event. If you guys haven't heard, we just released our interview with ESL talking to Timo and Clutch, so I highly recommend you guys go listen to that. But Sims is actually heralds from overseas, from where we are over in the UK, so it was very interesting to get a different perspective of how casting is kind of done. And there's a lot of similarities, I think, between like you and Bravo and Golden Boy, but it's nice to see how that translates over to a different country. So getting to see you commentate during the Grand Finals was a real honor. And I think a lot of people really enjoyed having that other character there to kind of help round out and give a little bit of a spark to the commentating group. How did you like the commentating for the Grand Finals? What was that experience for you?
I think for me, more than all, it was an honor to be there, if I'm honest. I mean, ever since I was a kid and, you know, a little youth in my room on a Friday night watching VOD MLG, watching all the pros play, I've always wanted to go to an American event. It was always kind of growing up, I always wanted to go to MLG, watch everyone do it properly, things like that. And, you know, to get invited over there, not just to watch it, but actually be a part of it as such, was an incredible, you know, it's an incredible experience. I mean, compared to what I normally do over here, it was nothing. I've never done anything substantial on that size ever. You know, that was just to jump straight into an event like that. Of, you know, it's not even an event leading up to a big Grand Finals. It was simply throwing at the deep end. You know, it's Grand Finals time, and I enjoyed it. It was a pleasure. It was an honor. Hope everyone enjoyed it more than anything. It was fun more than anything. The people out there were incredible, and it was the community that kind of helped me along, really. The tweets and the support and reading the forums and the players there, everyone were coming up and introducing themselves, saying hello. You know, even players while they were there were giving me feedback on the commentary and saying, you know, little critiques, nothing bad or nasty criticism or anything like that, but little critiques saying do this, do that, you know, blah blah blah. And it was just good. It was enjoyable more than anything. PAX was mind-blowing. I've never been to anything like a gaming exhibition. I mean, we have things over here called Insomnia events.
I've heard of those. Yep.
Yeah, they're kind of like PAX, but on a much smaller scale, really. I mean, Flamesword came over to one of the events, and first thing he said is, it's just like PAX. And, you know, when I actually initially saw it, I was like, yeah, I see the similarities and where it was coming from with that comment. But no, overall, it was an amazing time. Met all of 343, met all the fans, met all the players, fans of the franchise. It was good. It was a true honor to be there. And I can't thank, you know, Twitch, ESL and 343 for getting me out there enough. It's kind of a dream come true, really, not just to be at an American event, but to be a part of it. It was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. How long have you been doing competitive commentary for LAN events and for streams?
So basically, used to play Halo. I mean, hell, I used to play Halo every single day back in Halo 2, you know, 05, 06. I would just smash that game every single day. I would get up, play some
of
it.
It's a good one.
Go to work, get home, play it, go to sleep, get up, play it, go to work, get it, and rinse and repeat Saturday and Sunday, get up, play, have a shower and something to eat, play Halo. That's all it was back in the day. That is literally all it was. My entire life just revolved around playing that every single day, smacking matchmaking, hardcore Slayer 2v2s with one of my best mates. And that's all it was. Halo 3 came around, started settling down with the missus, you know, started getting married during, well, I got married during Halo Reach and kind of fell away from it a little bit. Kept, you know, kind of kept in contact as such with the competitors. Kind of watched it from a distance, fell out of competing at events, didn't really compete through Halo 3. Watched a little bit of Halo Reach, came back into the end of Halo Reach V7, played a little bit of that, didn't go to any events, and then kind of said, right, Halo 4, I want to get back into this. So, first event.
Nice.
The first European event, or was it the second? It might have been the second, but the first UK event, which Ninja came over to and actually won, was EGL 9. Now, went there, and I thought I had a pretty decent team and a few people. You know, we were smacking people all over the place online. It was quite funny and quite fun, and we were quite confident. Went to LAN, everything just fell apart and got knocked out in top 24. It was a whitewash. We thought we were going to come top 8, and we just got absolutely floor wiped with us. So, hanging around, pretty much got dumped out on Championship Sunday.
Ouch.
There was a microphone. Yeah, it wasn't fun. We kind of went into that event like, yeah, we're gonna do really well today. We're gonna have a good day. We're already in losers bracket, but we're gonna fight through. No, we got dumped out pretty much straight away. First team to go out, so it wasn't the best of fun. But then I noticed there was a microphone on the side, and the guys we were actually sponsored at the time, the guy who sponsored us was there, and he says, you know, you should really go. He wasn't bothered about it. He was happy with. He said, fair enough, these things happen, but we got on quite well with him, so he wasn't too disappointed, at least I was, but he wasn't, so that was the best thing. There was a microphone on the side, and I spoke to Roy, one of the guys behind all the stream. I says, what's, you know, is that for casting? Then he says, yeah, and no one had cast it, no one had really done it. So looked at the Twitch chat, turned the mic on, and just started talking to people. Obviously, no, the members of the community in the chat from the European forum, and there was a lot of... A lot of Americans and, you know, NA folk in the chat, because obviously Ninja was there, just chatting away and just chatting about the game. And actually, my first ever game that I ever casted was with Ninja, believe it or not. I actually just said to Tyler,
wow.
Said, yeah, it's so ironic. And I actually went and spoke to him at PAX, and he remembered me. He actually said straight away and brought it up straight away. So I actually kind of said to him, do you fancy coming on mic and talking with me? Because I didn't really know what I was doing. And I had no one there to really support me at the time. So I just said, do you fancy talking at Max? He says, yeah, come on, let's jump on. And we just spoke about the game. And from that, pretty much that point on, he went and he says, right, I'm going to have to go because I've got a game to play. I've got someone else in, which was Fusion, who's still playing now, Mr. Scott Finley himself, the Scottish Demon. He jumped on next game, and that were it, pretty much. Did grand finals with Jules and did pretty much every single European event since then. Never played again. Played. It was the first UK event, and it was my last UK event that I competed in, pretty much. And I've been casting ever since. We've done. It was a bit mental because I went to London to do Battle of Europe for the HS qualifier. Then the week after that, I flew out to Ireland, which was my first ever, you know, non-UK mainland event. So flew out to Ireland the week later. Came back on the Monday from Ireland and flew out to Boston on the Wednesday. So pretty much that entire week was, I didn't really see any of home. I was just traveling around London, traveling around Ireland, traveling around America, Boston to go. And that was including the flights out to Amsterdam. So that week was an insane week of Halo madness. Completely insane.
Yeah. There are lots of those weeks.
Oh, it's been mental since. It's, yeah. my time off work now, of days, doesn't really get spent on holidays. It gets spent on going away and casting Halo. It's a lot of fun, though. It's a hobby that's kind of progressed on a little bit, and you know what, something that I just really enjoy doing. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy talking about Halo. I enjoy talking a lot more than people usually tell me to shut up half the time. So the video game that I enjoy, and with the Master Chief Collection being, you know, mainly been playing the remastered Halo 2, the maps kind of come second nature knowing them, and you know, it's a bit of a throwback and something could really get my teeth stuck into with it being Halo 2.
Yeah. So you have a quite a rich history with competitive multiplayer, it sounds like, going back to Halo 2. What was kind of, you think, your golden age for playing Halo before you decided to kind of move over to the casting side?
It was definitely when I was 16. Definitely, like, talking 10 years ago now, 10, 11 years ago. Around that age, just playing Halo 2 when it was at its total prime. I always remember kind of when I packed it in, because it all kind of came around the same time. So I moved house. I got a decent job, which I recently left last week, actually. I got a job with a company, and I moved closer to them. So I moved into this, they had this like shared accommodation where it was all, you rented a room basically in a house. So I moved closer to work. As I moved there, a week later, I met my girlfriend, who is now my wife. And I remember we'd only been going out about 2 or 3 weeks. And funnily enough, Sam, who actually does, he was called Exit. It's funny how things always come around. He's actually one of the admins and I believe possibly designers on TeamBeyond.net. He was actually one of my old teammates back in the day. And I remember being with my girlfriend for about 2 or 3 weeks. And he actually got a Bungie friends and family beta key for Halo 3, even before anyone really in the UK kind of had it. And he didn't need it. And he gave it to me. And I remember standing up my girlfriend of 3 weeks on a night out, because I got the Halo 3 beta key and no one else really had it at the time. So it all kind of come round, and played that pretty much for the entire 2 days and ignored it for 2 days. So I got a telling off for that one, but I can't say I was too bothered. It was definitely worth it. And yeah, kind of played Halo 3, tanked it all the way through, didn't go to any events, kind of sat back with the girlfriend. I couldn't put the time and the hours in and dedicated to a team. So yeah, the start of, pretty much exactly the start of Halo 3 is when I got my girlfriend and had to stop competing then. Got a house and got things sorted during Halo Reach. Really didn't see Halo Reach whatsoever. It's kind of a blank spot for me is Reach. Watched it from the outskirts, but didn't really play it. Played it at the start, came back in for V7, at the end of V7, should I say, and started getting used to it again. And just kind of said, right, let's get back into Halo because I want to compete again in Halo 4. Competed in Halo 4, completely flopped, got into casting. So yeah, definitely Halo 2 was my prime. Start of Halo 3, I quit. Halo 4, come back in. During Halo 4, moved into casting. Pretty much it.
Yeah. I guess it's a little bit different story compared to some of the other casters that are on the scene. So like Bravo used to play competitively, was there in Halo 2 and played for a while. Walshy is well known. Golden Boy is a little bit different, but he casts across a lot of different games. But it sounds like for you, you started the competitive and you kind of wavered off and then you came back. And then you eventually changed over to the commentary. So you mentioned that the first time you commentated was with Ninja. So was that kind of an uncomfortable experience for you, or was that something that kind of felt natural, just getting up to the mic and starting talking about Halo?
I've never, in public or job interviews and anything like that, I've never been afraid to speak to anybody, really. I mean, my job is, I'm a photocopier technician, so I fix photocopies and printers. So every day I drive to customers. I go to schools, businesses, multi-million pound businesses, and you know, around England, business empires, anything from a post office to a fish and chip shop, anyone who's got a printer or copier anywhere. So I'm always meeting new people. My life revolves around meeting new people every single day. So in my line of work anyway, you have to be confident, go in. You've no idea what you're going into, who you're going to be meeting. You got to speak to them, find out what the problem is, talk to them, make sure the problem's fixed. And so my job revolves really around speaking to new people every day. And with Ninja, it was nothing different. It was nice with Ninja because I was just asking him questions pretty much. How he was, you know, how he became Ninja. What would you do in this situation? What would you do in that situation? What are these guys doing wrong here? What are they doing wrong there? What would you do right now? If you could say, you know, just kind of really what I was doing with Walshy at PAX. With Walshy, more than anything, I was intrigued to get into his mind, because some of the things, honestly, I was sat there and you can really tell the difference. I actually made a joke on stream that quite a few of the European people tweeted me about because they actually clocked onto what I'd said. You could tell the difference between the top 24 player and the top one player of Walsh. You know, you could really tell that difference in mindset. The things that he was picking up on when we were watching the screens, he'd say something and I was like, damn, I didn't even think of that. It's like, look at how he's rotated here. Look at what he's doing here. And I won't even pick up on things like that. And it were fun seeing how Walsh's mind worked. And that's kind of what I did with Ninja EGL9. I wanted to know exactly what makes him tick in Halo, what makes him do the decisions. And that's kind of all I did. I just really, you know, got into him and asked him loads of questions on different situations and scenarios. And when we generally just had a talk about Halo, it's really no different to what I did with Walshy and Bravo at PAX.
Yeah. How was it like meeting them for the first time? I'm sure there were icons to you getting to this point and finally meeting them. What was that like?
Oh, it was mad to go to, you know, Battle of Europe and meet Strongside, and then a few weeks later meet Walsh. It was definitely a fanboy moment, and you know, it was like drinking with Strongside, talking about Halo 2, and then after was it Friday night, I think it was, we were on main stage, we were playing Halo 1 and Halo 2 on main stage just after hours, you know, when nobody were there before, in fact, the night before the event kicked up, just on main stage testing Xboxes out, playing Halo 2. I was so nostalgic. And then kind of Walshy was different. I actually mentioned in one of my YouTube videos a little thing with Walshy. He was staying at my hotel, obviously with jet lag and stuff. They got me out early, but Walshy was there early as well, saw Timo, and he says, oh, Walshy's coming down, you know. And I was pretty hungry. I landed at about 3 o'clock, got to my hotel for 3:30, text Walshy, says, yeah, do you want to meet up, blah, 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 blah. Says, yeah, I'm in my hotel room now. 10 minutes, we'll get something to eat. So I went up to my room. I didn't think you were ever going to speak to me again after this. So I went up to my room, and just to kind of put it in perspective, I'd been traveling for 17 hours, and I don't really do well with flying. So I'd had a couple of sleeping tablets, try and knock me out a little bit, but they didn't really knock me out. I was just kind of a little bit dazed and confused, really. Really made me tired and groggy, just didn't put me to sleep. So I get in the hotel room. I sat down on a chair, took a drink of a glass of water on side, text Walsh. He says, all right, I'm going to come up to your room in 5 minutes. No worries. No word of a lie. I looked at the clock. It was 4 o'clock. I must have closed my eyes. I sat down on a chair. I opened my eyes back up, and I had no idea where I was or what was going on. Everything was pitch black. I looked across, and the clock said like 4:30 a.m. I'd literally sat down in the chair.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and fallen asleep for 12 hours solid, just completely.
Whoa.
The same position, the glass of bottle of water were on the side, and yeah, I was completely gone. And I looked at my phone, and there were texts from Walsh saying, coming up now, knocking on your door, where are you? Hi, where are you at? And I just thought, it's the first time I've ever met Dave Walsh, and I've stood him up.
Oh, no.
I've stood up a global Halo icon, and you know, someone who actually we're going to get a chance to go to dinner with. I've just stood the guy up. I didn't know what to say.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I thought, he's never gonna speak to me again. But I explained it to him, and yeah, he was fine. And again, did the same with him. We went to Boston Town Center. We grabbed some food, and we just talked about Halo. And it was so nostalgic being Strongside and being Walsh. You just reliving the memories of some of the events from Halo 2 and talking about all the things that happened. And it's kind of, no matter who you speak to, whether it's someone within these guys or even some of the guys that I speak to from Call of Duty, you know, who in the European scene, everybody knows Halo, and it's Halo 2 is such a topic of conversation and things that you can speak about no matter generally what game you're in. If you're in esports, you know what Halo 2 is. And just a little quick one on that, I remember when the Master Chief Collection was announced, someone who I used to play Halo 2 with, who were part of my little crew that we used to play with every single day, I haven't seen him about 6 years, so that's the pitch. I hadn't seen him pretty much Halo 3, he went off to university, his own thing and whatnot, so I haven't seen him in a long, long time. E3 comes up, Master Chief Collection gets announced. I'm going to fix a copier at a company. It was actually a brewery. So I'm walking in with my toolcase, and I get this, you know, I get someone saying, hey, Sims. I turned around, it's, you know, it's called Adam, someone I used to play Halo 2 with back in the day, like God knows how many years ago. He doesn't even say hello to me, right? He doesn't even say hello. I haven't seen this guy in 6 or 7 years. The first thing he says to me, D, did you see that Halo 2 Anniversary's come out? That's the first thing he said to me. And we didn't, we haven't seen each other in like 6 or 7 years. We didn't even bother saying hello or asking how each other were. We're just talking about Halo 2. And it's, you know, it was the same with these guys meeting Strongside and Walsh. It was just Halo 2 nostalgia all over. it was fantastic.
Wow. That's fantastic, dude. I bet that, I mean, even after, I guess, accidentally standing him up.
Yeah.
That, I mean, just to be able to, like, meet an icon, I know how that feels, and that's a wonderful thing. So, that's cool that you get to come over here and just get that exposure. One of the things I don't think we really appreciate here being in the States is, what does the esports scene look like over in the UK? So, how does that kind of differ from what we've had here in the States with MLG and some of the esports leagues that we have here compared to what's happened over in the UK in the past with Halo?
Well, this is like when it was completely at its prime. I mean, when I was back in Halo 2, when I were competing, things were just kind of kicking it off the ground. People were looking at MLG and trying to step up to that. We had XL, TSG, Matchbox 360. We had all the smaller companies, and you know, it progressed on to EGL and ECL. Now, I didn't actually get to experience that era because of, you know, I kind of stopped competing for Halo 3 and Reach, and that's really when the UK Halo esports scene was at its prime. During Halo 3, Halo Reach, and this is where you see some of the, you know, our all-star players that you've got today, Fusion, Riots, Blackjack, people like that, the Bucks, that's where they all came into it. And so I haven't experienced the UK esports scene for Halo, it's in its prime. However, what we've got now, I've got to say, even though it's on a very, very small scale, it's a very tight-knit family, and I know there's a couple of things coming up in Europe. There's Pro Asylum are looking to do at the moment quite a few events with Halo. They were actually already on their website got a Halo MCC announcement this month. I don't know what they're doing, but they've even already penciled in with the look of it for events for Halo 5 because they've got on the calendar upcoming events Halo 5. So they're already looking to plan ahead for the future, which is a good sign. You know, that's a company we can look at and say, well, look, they're already looking at the future for the European Halo scene, and that's kind of what we want. And things are a little bit quiet at the moment. There are companies supporting it. Whether EGL come back after the success for the Battle of London, I don't know what's going on there. Multiplayer still going with Halo and supporting Halo events. So things have quietened down over here. There's only probably, I'd say maybe there'll be less than, I dare say, 20 active top end teams still remaining. But I really think that with Halo 5, you know, 343, ESL, Twitch, all these other companies have got a good chance to captivate the European market and really make a comeback. I'm seeing an awful lot of people looking at Call of Duty, looking at Counter-Strike, looking at League of Legends, all these other games. But I really think that this is kind of, at the moment, just while we're in that back end of the transition into Halo 5. I mean, I don't know if anything will come up for Season 2. No one said anything yet for Season 2. I dare say if Europe does get anything for Season 2, a lot of the teams will come back because, like, one of those EGL events, one of the online qualifiers to get to the Battle of London had 47 teams in it, and that's for Halo 2 Anniversary. I've never seen 47 teams online before for Halo 2 Anniversary, and that were all in one bracket that were for qualifier number 4. And you know, so it just goes to prove that if you give them something, you know, if you build it, the people will come. If you give them something to aim for, they will turn up. That was the last chance to get an all expenses paid to London, which could have bagged you €10,000 and a trip to the States. And 47 teams showed up online to play for that and compete for that. So yeah, if events come back, the teams will show. And but again, there has to be something there for them. And I think it's finding that right niche of giving the size of the crowd exactly what they need. But I do think that Halo 5 has a prime time, and it's all, they've got a good chance to recaptivate not just the European market, but the Halo market as a whole. And I'm looking forward to this year. I think, you know, with the launch of Halo 5 and the HCS, of course, that not just Europe, but the entire Halo franchise has a good shot at coming back. And me honestly, I'm really looking forward to it. I put possibly more hours into the Halo 5 beta than I have done for the entire of the Master Chief Collection, because that's how good I thought it was, genuinely. I thought it was that good.
I think that's a testament to some of the stuff that we see going on in Halo 5. Since you brought it up, we know Halo 5 is kind of taking an esports route, trying to do the arena multiplayer, also putting in spectator mode. What's kind of the laundry list of things you would like to see incorporated into Halo, whether it be for casters or just from the multiplayer environment in the game? What's some of the things that you would like to see change with Halo if you had the ability to have that kind of influence?
The main priority for me, and I don't think any esports game can survive in this day and age without it, but I'd like to see a caster mode, not just a spectator mode, but like what COD has, COD caster. I want to be able to, you know, people don't want to hook up 7-8 capture cards to capture 8 Xboxes. People don't want to have cables running all over the place. People want to be able to CODcast, to jump in with a controller, scroll through the player's POVs, look at the minimap. I think Breakout, if there's a caster mode with Breakout, if you have like an Oracle mode like you do in COD and Counter-Strike, so you can see through, you know, the caster and the spectator mode can see people through the walls. We can, as casters, talk about what's going to happen, talk about where I, honestly, can you imagine somebody, it would be, it's near impossible because of how it is, but can you imagine if you're in like losers semis or something like that, you're playing Breakout mode and you pull a 1-on-3 to put your team through the losers bracket? As a caster, for me, that's Candyland. I would love to see a proper full-blown caster mode, not just a spec mode, but everything about a caster mode in Halo 5, because Breakout, with some fight, you know, the game isn't perfect, that we had the beta to give the feedback. If you get an objective in Breakout mode, that to me is just, it has every potential to be completely and utterly revolved around esports. It's everything. It can be everything that esports is all about. It's going to have the hype. It's going to have, you know, the gun skill. It's going to have the skill. It's just going to have everything that esports really needs. And from a game type, it has a lot of, that's the word, potential. It has so much potential to be incredible. But yeah, for me, it's all about that perfect caster mode. If they get that right, or perfect spectator mode, if they get that right, then I think that's the priority. For this day and age to survive in the esports industry in this day and age, that's pretty much, no game is going to do anything in esports without it.
So you mentioned some of the stuff, looking into the Breakout mode and seeing some other objective game types in there to help support it. Do you have any in mind that you think would be well off in kind of that low health, low shield, one life scenario?
I've never been, you know, I completely and utterly appreciate Call of Duty players and the skill that they have and things like that. And there's no disrespect. I've never been a huge watching Call of Duty fan. I like Halo because of the scenarios and situation you get in. I think with the kill times, it's very quick. And with COD, I've never really kind of enjoyed that kill death kind of scenario. But I will watch S&D all day long because I think it really promotes a lot of teamwork. And it promotes clutches, and it promotes, you know, a lot of enjoyment. So if they went with the full S&D type of strategy, you know, with Breakout, they could do well. The one thing I want to see removed, I must say, from Breakout, and I really want to make a big point on this. There's a quite a famous clip around the European Call of Duty scene where one team manages to be, I think it's something like 5-1 down. They bring it back to 5-1. Sorry, they bring it back to 5-5, and the end of one guy ends up doing like a 1-on-3 or 1-on-4 to kill them all, and they bring it back from 5-1 down to win 6-5. Now, there's a famous picture at the end where there's like all three kids are staring at this one guy's screen who's last alive, and when he gets that kill, they go nuts. Now, the one thing I actually don't want to see in Halo 5 is, and what I did quite a lot with Breakout, I'd find myself sitting on corners and having my teammates pan around for me, you know, in the third person view, and tell me what's going on. I don't want that. I don't want any of my teams to have any of control of the cameras. I'd like them just to be watching my POV. So at LAN, you know, there not being this extra person, their controls go down and all the pressure moves onto the shoulders of that one guy who's alive. You know, I don't want people looking around corners from, because you're going to get a little bit campy and kind of ruin it a little bit. I think if you die, then you can flip through the people's screens who are alive. But if you're dead, you're out, and the responsibility goes onto the shoulders and the backpack of your teammate.
That's an interesting point that you made. That hasn't been anything that came across kind of my mind. I think from a generic multiplayer matchmaking thing, that's just kind of how it's been. Because if you think of Halo 3, Halo Reach online, or really Halo Reach and Halo 4, you have the ability to scroll through your ally. So I think that's just something that's been there. But you bring up a very good point about having that capability in a situation where it is down to that one life, and it really is dependent on.
You shouldn't be able to come back if you get killed and you're out. Then I don't think you should be able to kind of stay in the game by helping your teammates. So you should be able, fair enough, you can scroll through the people who are alive and look at their POV, but I don't think you should be panning around and helping them out by looking around corners. Because I found myself doing that a bit last alive. I'd be on a wall. I'd be like asking my teammates, you know, look around the corner, where is it? And I'd just wait, and then they'd say, right, he's coming now. And then I'd just jump out and blame him. And it's like, I don't want that, because that's taking an element of me away. It should be all eyes on me. The pressure's on me to mm-hmm. get this win. Those guys are dead. They've had their chance. And especially at LAN, I want to see them, you know, the pads go down, the heads are in the hands. It's all eyes on that one guy who's remaining. And if he gets the kill and clutches up, bump, it's all about that. So, I think from both a spectator and a player, I don't want to see, I want to see that third person view removed. And I just want it to be kind of the pressure mounts onto the people who are remaining. And, you know, the people are dead. They're dead. It's their fault. They've got to sit out and ride the wave, so to speak.
That's, you bring up a very good point. It's something that I hadn't really thought about. So that, I'm assuming you've kind of shared that with Bravo and 343.
Yeah.
As some of your feedback, right?
Yeah, I've put.
So it'll be interesting if we see that as a change to the Halo 5. As far as the Spectator mode goes, I think there's a lot of potential there. I think what we saw in the beta is just kind of the tip of the iceberg for what we'll get in terms of capabilities. And I would assume with the focus that they now have on esports because of them backing the Halo Championship Series, there's got to be some kind of toolkit that they're going to be engineering for Halo 5 to where someone like you and Bravo, when you're casting, can really take advantage of what hosting games on dedicated servers could do, or being able to have some extra implementation or some kind of tournament mode where you can go in and do have that Oracle perspective. And that would help, I think, with explaining strategies, explaining how team movement is going on, and that would help in between games, as maybe something happened within the last 30 seconds of a game and you want to go back and review how a team managed to pull off something. So you're talking about your clutch 3-1, make it to where you can go instantly back into the film. Like with spectator mode, you basically stay in the session until everyone leaves. So you can go in, you can get a view of where everyone is and really expound upon the ability to explain strategy to people either in the audience or on stream. Because that's one of the things about casting that I think Halo has had a knack for has been, and I think Walshy does this probably the best, is explaining how strategies are being formulated, why players are moving in a certain way, not just calling out what's going on the screen, but actually saying why this is happening and really giving that expert analysis into what's going on in the game.
Yeah, he's a god at that. And another person who I think would be, who I've heard and I think would be amazing at that is T2. Personally, I still think that Walsh is probably worst, you know, he's still the most knowledgeable person in Halo. But I think T2 for me is still one of the smartest. And I think Tom would be an incredible addition to the same role as Walshy doing that. I genuinely think it'd be a god to do an analysis.
Awesome. Yeah, I haven't seen Tom really cast as much as some of the other pros. I know Ninja for a while was casting some of the AGL events when those were going on. and some of the other pros had a little bit of screen time, but now it's kind of been more granulated out to Golden Boy, Bravo, Walshy, and I'm blanking on the fourth American commentator right now. But those guys have obviously had a good foundation in commentary, and then having you over in the States, I think that's gotten you probably a lot more exposure, especially for your YouTube channel, which you actually started doing blogs on. So kind of explain a little bit about how that's going for you and why you started to decide to do that and what your plans are for your YouTube channel.
The YouTube, I've always wanted to do a YouTube, and I've started them up before and kind of failed before. So the YouTube is always something I wanted to do, and I kind of thought, well, and a few people kind of says, you know, do you have a YouTube? Why don't you start a YouTube? And moving into, it's kind of a base for Halo 5, really, because I want to be able to, with the cast and mode, start casting a lot of games. It's been on hold these last 2 weeks or so. I were doing, trying to do one a week, but it's been on hold at the moment because I've got this new job. I'm on a training course this week. And I also got partnered on my Twitch. So I've kind of been at the moment and getting all the overlays, getting the all the pictures and the notification stuff working. So I've been working on that this week. But with the training course, I haven't really had time. So I will be getting back into the YouTube. But kind of with Twitch, with the YouTube, it's setting a foundry for Halo 5, because I truly believe that for me is kind of a big thing for us, and I want a slice of the action as such. I want to be a part of it because I just have a good feeling about it. I really do. Again, the YouTube, they're there because I enjoy talking about Halo, and I've got some decent equipment now. I bought myself a decent cam, a snowball mic, so it's I am going to get back on it. I've got a European video up at the moment that I just forgot to upload before I came out this week to the training course. But yeah, it's more than anything as well, I want to try and incorporate. I've been doing some updates on HCS Season 2 for like Europeans who don't follow the NA scene as strongly, and I'm also doing updates on the European scene for the NA community that don't follow the EU scene as strongly. So trying to bridge that gap between the two is kind of a goal stroke aim at the moment. But yeah, it's on hold this week, but it will recommence next week.
Gotcha. So we're moving into Season 2 of HGS starting this weekend with IG Atlanta, and that's going to be one of two LAN events, and actually it's the only LAN event before the finals, which is going to be June 26th or 28th, the PGL Indianapolis LAN. So it's a little bit more of a condensed season in terms of LAN events that are there, a lot more online cups. What do you think of the format changes that we're seeing in HCS? I had a chance to talk to Timo and Clutch about it when we had them on the show, and they went through some of the reasonings behind why they're doing some of the changes with the prize money, the points that are going out, the ladders, having the eight teams that are automatically put into Championship Sunday. What do you think of some of the format changes that you were seeing in Season 2 so far?
Ultimately, I think they've been listening to people's complaints and listening to, and complaints sounds bad, but you know, their feedback, the complaints about that, which were the previous ones, and you know, they've worked on it and they've looked at how best can they do this. And at the end of the day, running online tournaments it's not easy. At the end of the day, it's online, anything can happen. And they're looking at, you know, the critiques from Season 1, trying to get it better. And I generally think overall they've done a good job. I believe Season 2, you know, you've got to look at it. It's only, you mentioned we've got this event, Iron Game, and then the PGL, then Grand Finals, only really a few months apart from one another. I mean, what, we're in April now. You've got a couple events within a few months of each other. And I believe, is that over with the prize money through things? Is it over a quarter of a million, I think, with the online stuff as well?
Yeah, I think the total prize pool over all events is a quarter of a million.
And for three events, really, within a few months, that's a ridiculous amount of money. That's a lot of money to play for. And, you know, the online cups are now, within the NA scene, giving NA teams something to play and something to grind for, which I think is a fantastic thing for people for streamers and, you know, competitors and pro Halo players that want to put the time and effort in to practice and go to these events, it's something that for them is brilliant, because now they can, you know, ultimately players are going to start making, you see Call of Duty players that do it for jobs and other streamers. I don't know because I don't speak to a lot of them, but I can only imagine now that quite a few of the Halo pros are doing this for a living, that they're streaming and they're winning events and they're winning online money, and that they're making something that they can actually call a job now, which is fantastic. It's giving them an opportunity to finally be the pro player and be able to make a living off of playing Halo. And I think that's that must be a fantastic feeling and a fantastic achievement. It's also good to, you know, to look at them, that they're getting rewarded for the hard work and effort that they're putting.
Yeah. On top of the first LAN, which is IG Atlanta, then the final LAN, which is HCS Indianapolis, we're going to have the grand finals at ESL headquarters on July 28th. So is that an event that you're looking to go for, or do you know if you've been invited out to the finals for Season 2? I'm assuming they'll probably try to get you over if they can.
Certainly at this moment in time, a few people, in fact, quite a lot of people have asked me, when you're going out, what are you doing? I generally have no idea. Season 1, I was asked to go there and invited. So I'll just hopefully wait and see if I get invited out again. And, you know, I've been invited once, so I'm certainly not going to. And for me, that was, again, an honour. So I'm not going to go pestering anybody and begging 343, can I come and do this? And begging Twitch, can I come and do that? And, you know, going off at ESL saying, can I do this, can I do that? If they'd like me out there, I'm sure they'll invite me and ask me again. But to be fair, I'm not greedy. They invited me and got me out to Season 1 finals. That, for me, they made a dream a reality come true. So if I never cast another game in the States, I'd love to do it, obviously, but I would never complain simply because of what they did for me at Season 1. It would be rude of me to complain about it, because it was that good. I had such a good time. So, yeah, those guys made a dream come true for me to be able to go out there and not just be at an event, but be part of an event. So hopefully I do get invited. Well, I suppose it's watch this space and see what happens, really.
Awesome. As far as projections for teams that you may see end up throughout the season, we actually did get a post, I think yesterday, about some team changes that we're seeing in Season 2 already. Do you have any personal favorites for teams in HCS that you kind of side with, or are you kind of that person that just enjoys watching the Halo, that you don't really care who wins as long as everyone's doing their best, putting their skills out there, and just laying out some great Halo?
I try and stay as neutral as possible. However, it's, you always get someone who you always side with, you always befriend. I've always been a big fan of Roy and Mr. Richie Hines. I think when you look at the rosters, a lot of good things have happened. Team changes are never a good thing. I'm always a big fan. I was saying this to Hines, big fan. It's try and, if you do bad, don't split up. Have another crack at it. However, some of these teams simply, they want, you know, they want the win, and a team change has to happen. And fair play, if team's not working out, then, and you don't want to be a part of that team, then, you know, if you don't want to be there, then you're just going to drag everything else down. But I've always been a big fan of people staying together. However, Season 2, I think EG are looking as strong as them. I think definitely, for me, a pick to win. Iron Gaming, at least, anyway. Denial roster is pretty disgusting. I actually think with Hines and Cloud swapping places, CLG and Denial, I actually think that worked out well for both teams. You've got CLG that have picked up, you know, a bag of slaying power in the form of Cloud, and that's going to work to their ability. And I think Hines, just the Denial roster that's, you know, Hines has landed on, has formed around him, is just disgusting. And I think that they're going to be, between CLG, it's going to be EG may just, well, I think EG will just pip them both. But I think it's going to be, no one's going to get whitewashed like we saw kind of at PAX at the finals where it was the 3-0. I think these three teams are going to be having a bit of a round-robin battle for them top three placements between them. And then when you look at the teams below, it really is anybody's game. The competition is so tight at the moment, it's unreal.
Yeah, and I think we saw the evidence to that for the losers bracket finals, that five games of game five series at the finals, which was ridiculous.
That was
what was your reaction to that? Because, well, I know talking to a lot of people, they just like minds blown.
Yeah,
at this being a possibility.
It was. I mean, it was credit where credit's due to the you know, testament to the players' talents of teamwork and skill and working together. Unfortunate for Noble Black. I really think it would have been the love story of PAX if they'd have managed to get to, you know, the grand finals, if they would have managed to beat CLG.
Yep.
I think they had every opportunity to do so. A little bit unfortunate on their end. I don't want to say they choked, because I don't think they choked. You know, you can't say you choked against a team like CLG, because CLG are just that damn good. CLG just played out of the mind and did the comeback at the end of the day. It's one of those things that happens, but Noble Black certainly didn't make it easy for them. But that, you know, is kind of, for me, what Halo was all about. That's competitive Halo at its finest. And from a player, from a caster, from somebody who was watching outside, you know, I had EU COD players tweeting me saying, my God, this is amazing to watch, because they've all come from Halo. I mean, I was slightly annoyed because I completely lost my voice and I needed the toilet the entire time and I couldn't leave my seat.
Oh, gosh.
I kept saying, right, I need to have a break now. I need to have a break. Running back and forth to the toilet. But it was, that for me is the reason for casting Halo and being a part of Halo Esports. If, you know, if we see more of that throughout Season 2 and going into Halo 5, games as close and as clutch as that, then my God, that is going to be a viewership game, is that, without question. That's what Halo always has been. I think it's a viewership game. You can sit and watch, no matter, even if you don't know what's going on, you can sit and watch Halo all day long, as far as I'm concerned. It really is a viewership sport.
So I think that is pretty much it. One last question I would like to ask before we wrap this up. First of all, thank you for taking time to do this, but what's kind of the big thing that you're expecting from Season 2 of HCS? What's the one thing that you're looking forward to for this season?
One thing I'm looking forward to? Ooh. Two things, really, then. Let's say...
Okay.
would like to see something as both... I don't know, you can class it as one or two things. I'd like to see something happen as good as those replays, even if it's not as replays, something as mesmerizing and mind-blowing as that happen. You know, even if someone like got a kill tech, or, you know, just completely went off with a sniper rifle and killed Trossy or something like that on LAN in finals, would be, not necessarily even grand finals, just at PAX, it would, you know, at the Season 2 finals, it would be mad to see something as clutch as like that, just something mind-blowing like we saw at Season 1. The other thing that I want to see, I'd love to see another underdog run, you know, someone like...
Yeah, that would be good.
Could you... I'm going to throw this out there. Could you imagine if Reality Check made it to top 8 and started knocking, you know, piping teams off on day number 1? Could you imagine something like that happening? I think it'd be, if you got another grand final story, a complete underdog team, that'd be good to see again, definitely.
I think we've seen bits and pieces of that in past Halo tournaments. I mean, I know when Halo Reach first came on the MLG circuit, there were new teams that were just dominating the play space. So I don't think it's completely out of the question where we could see an underdog team come in, sweep up lots of wins, and really make it to the top 8 and push for a position amongst the top teams. I think it's possible, and it's just a matter of good teamwork, practice, and sometimes a little bit of luck, too.
I've actually just thought of something I do want to see. Throughout Season 2, I want to see Naded win his first LAN event.
The one this weekend?
Any. I just want to see Naded get a LAN event under his belt, because, quote me if I'm wrong here, I'm pretty sure that the only event that he's won was an online Reach Dr. Pepper event. I'm pretty sure Naded still hasn't won a LAN 4v4 event, and he's been playing all these years. I think it's well overdue for him. He needs an event win. He deserves an event win.
Gotcha. Hopefully that'll come at some point. I mean, like you said, being able to play for this long and have been playing for this long, give the guy credit for the dedication to get there, and hopefully his due diligence pays off. One question that I did come to mind when you were answering the one thing you were looking forward to, when you said being able to do the replays, is and this is something I actually was able to ask Golden Boy, but what do you think of the setup that ESL had for the final events with all the tech and the caster booth? What was it like being able to have all that there? What was your impressions of all that?
Yeah, it's really good. And the one thing, you looked at all the kit that they had, it was top of the range and top of the shop. But the one thing that I will say, Lennox of 343, the one thing that he does, honestly, he's always looking to improve every little thing. He was, they had meetings on a night. What can we do better? Meetings through the day. What do we want to see? Where do we want to go? How he talks to the casters, how he talks to the production team, how he talks to the floor staff. Lennox is a bit of somebody who's, I don't think, gets enough credit for what goes on, because the guy is an absolute monster when it comes to production and overall everything that you see there. I mean, don't get me wrong, you've got all the 343 staff, all of the Twitch staff, everyone in the background, all the ESL staff, everyone in the background that works on all that equipment. The equipment's mind-blowing. There's thousands and thousands and thousands, I'd probably say hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment. And skilled and talented guys running it all from behind the scenes. And they're really, the unwritten, unsung heroes. But Lennox is always looking for feedback and always looking for ways to improve and make something. If you look at it, he kind of, I think he's a bit of a perfectionist in terms of wanting to make everything better. I mean, I'm pretty sure I've seen them. He's now done all the map intros for Iron Gaming this weekend. I'm pretty sure he's done them all and stuck them on Halo Channel already. Because, again, I think that was probably brought back through feedback. There's things like that. And with Lennox at the helm of that team, I can only see things getting better and better and better every single time.
Awesome, dude. Well, again, thank you for taking the time to come and talk to us. We hope to see you on here again sometime, maybe during HCS Season 2 or shortly thereafter. Do you have anything you want to plug before we wrap this up?
No, not really. I just want to say thank you very much for having me. Definitely feel free to give me a shout if you want to get me on again. I'm always on Twitch. I'm always on Twitter if anyone's got any questions or anything. One of my key things, I always try and respond to people on Twitter. Like, throughout, I was getting back to the hotel in a night from PAX, and I'd have like 75 messages, and I'm always odd, even people are saying good luck. I think it's rude not to respond, so I'm always trying to respond to people.
So, again, thanks for coming on. For those that are listening to this, thank you for tuning in. Hopefully this kind of gives you a little bit of exposure on who The Sims is, and it's great to have you on the commentary team. It was great to meet you at the finals, and I'm looking forward to seeing you cast in the future for Halo.
Thank you very much. It has been a pleasure.
Awesome. Well, guys, please make sure you check out our website, poddaggler.com. And, of course, you can hit us up on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all that good stuff. And, of course, check out our podcast network, thepodcast.com. Until next time, keep on fragging that HCS.